Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Leviticus, Old Testament, only the third book of the Bible, Leviticus chapter number 14, and I'll bring you the thought that's on our heart. Thank God for that old song, Revive Us Again. God knows we need it. Amen. We need it more now than we ever have, as Brother Simpson was saying there about the state of churches across the land. And you may have heard they were telling on the news Friday here on the station and yesterday about that the Southern Baptist Convention, some of the decisions they've made, relinquishing doctrinal stands that made Baptists distinct from other religions, made us biblical, by the way. They've relinquished those stands and decided to go a different way. And I'm not here to bash the Southern Baptists, but I'm glad I am Southern and I am a Baptist. Not ashamed of either one of those, but I'm glad I'm not a part of that convention crowd. Amen. And I'm glad that we are independent Baptists, which means that we can and do attempt to go by the Bible. Now, there's some independents that are nuts as well. I mean, Fruit Loops, they are. And I'm not part of them. I'm glad I can say we're independent. Amen. We're not part of that crowd. Amen. But anyway, having said all that, I want to bring you a thought. God gave me this thought. I think it was on Friday night, and I've worked on it yesterday, and I hope that it'll be helpful to you. Bless my heart when I saw it. Leviticus chapter 14, verse number 1, and I'll read down through verse number 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take him, to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair. You know that's why I like that. Amen. And wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Excuse me. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows. Even all his hair shall he shave off. And he shall wash his clothes, and he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. That's reading verses 1 through 9, Leviticus chapter 14. Father, I pray now you take these words. Father, there's a good spirit in the house of God tonight. We've enjoyed the songs, the liberty. Lord, the way that you've pointed us to the fact that you are in control, and though our world's a mess, Lord, that everything's all right in my Father's house, and I want to thank you, Lord, that it is. And Lord, we want to exalt the Lamb of God tonight. We want to express the gospel and let people know the goodness of God in the gospel tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd use these words, these analogies, this symbolism, these statements, Lord, I pray you'd use them in a way that would glorify you and please you, that you might bring sinners to your side, that they might be saved. Lord, you might awaken them to their need and point them to Christ before it be too late. Lord, that the saints would be strengthened, please revive us again, as the song said, and get the glory, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm preaching tonight on this thought, the symbolism of the sparrows in the cleansing of the leper. The symbolism of the sparrows in the cleansing of the leper. Now, first of all, and I don't have time really to deal with this extensively as I'd like to, but leprosy is used throughout the Bible, extensively in the Bible. The leprosy is used to illustrate to us sin, especially in the Old Testament and especially in the four Gospels. You read much about leprous men and even leprous women and how that God used leprosy as a curse again and again upon people for their disobedience unto the word of the Lord. And then in the Gospels, of course, you see where that Christ healed lepers. Amen. And in His healing of lepers, He told them to obey the law, to do exactly what Moses said in the book of Leviticus. Now, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One reason being that Christ did not come to destroy the law, but rather He came to fulfill it. Amen. And that was why He told them to do that. But also there's a second reason, and that was because it took a priest to pronounce them unclean, and it would take a priest to pronounce them cleansed. And when that priest saw a man that had been healed of his leprosy that he had previously diagnosed as having that dreadful disease, he knew it was an act of God. And Jesus was revealing Himself to the scribes and the priests so that when they cried, "Away with him, crucify him," they were doing it with an open eye. They were doing it with a mind that had been enlightened. They knew who they were condemning. Amen. And so Christ was revealing Himself unto them through the healing of the disease. Amen. Now, I have heard numerous sermons, and there have been numerous sermons, on the symbolism of the disease of leprosy and sin, and illustrate the dangers of sin. That's not my message tonight, but I'd like to only make a few quick references about the characteristics and then get into my message. First of all, I want to think about leprosy, that leprosy is a dreaded, incurable disease that eats away at the extremities. It'll eat your fingers off, your hands, your arms. It'll eat your toes, feet, legs. It'll eat your nose, your ears. It'll eat away at you until they literally, I've been told, that they will decay and fall right off of a person. And that happens and brings death unless a miracle takes place. Amen. Leprosy that might start out small. It might start out as a hidden thing, but it eats away until it becomes increasingly obvious and increasingly devastating. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Hanley Milby preach a message, and he was dealing with Naaman, but talking about leprosy. And he preached on, "Is there a spot on you?" And he used the illustration that maybe a spot arose on his arm, and he'd just wear long sleeves and try to cover it up. But then it would move, and it would expand, and it would eventually would be evident that he had that dreaded disease. That's the way sin is. You may hide it for a while, but somewhere along the lines, it'll come uncovered. Amen. Somewhere along the lines, it'll eat to the point that it'll be obvious. Amen. To more than just a few, that disease is eating in your life. Leprosy is a dreadful disease, and it illustrates sin. Leprosy has a corrupting influence in which it permeates and infects, even showing up in the clothing of the one infected with leprosy. It might even show up in the walls of the house of the one that has leprosy. I thought about that. When people get to dabbling in sin, most of the time you can tell it by the way they start dressing. Their clothing. It'll show up in clothing. It'll show up in what they do at the house. What goes on in the house. Amen. That leprosy will show up and infect even the house or the home or the people in that home and in that house if it's not dealt with. The leper was pronounced unclean. Amen. Unclean. He or she was excluded from the sanctuary and was excluded from the camp because of their uncleanness. Leprosy not only devastates the body and brings death, but it also separates family members and brings shame to the family. It took a priest. These are all symbol things that you can see. It took a priest to pronounce them unclean. By the way, we need some preachers that will preach against things again. Amen. Amen. It took a priest to pronounce him unclean, and only a priest could pronounce him clean or healed. Amen. Now, I don't believe that it's the preacher's job to tell you you're lost or to tell you you're saved. But it is his job to preach so that the Holy Ghost can tell you you're lost. And it'll take the Holy Ghost to tell you you're saved. Amen. That is right. Then here's another symbolism. There was a ceremonial ritual for dealing with leprosy which contained much symbolism. The pronouncement of cleansing from leprosy entailed a detailed ritual that has a unique and specific sacrifice. And I read it to you here in Leviticus chapter number 14. I could have read the whole first 32 verses that deal with this leprosy and the cleansing, the ceremony that goes. But I dealt only with the first 9 verses that deal with the cleansing of the individual and talks about his first allowed back into the company of the saints. Now let me say this by way of introduction and move on. First of all, leprosy is used as a symbol of sin in these ways. Number one, because of the mystery of its origin. It could show up in anybody at any time. Sometimes God allowed leprosy just to break out all at once. You remember how that was it in Jeroboam, that as he was holding his hand out towards the priest, and the priest had condemned the altar, and Jeroboam held out his hand to tell him to go get him, and his hand become leprous, and it withered in among him. Amen. I believe he had leprosy. I might be wrong about that. I remember how that Miriam, God struck Miriam with leprosy for a period of time. I remember how that Gehazi, when Naaman came with leprosy, and he offered to give Elisha some of the offering, some gift, and Elisha wouldn't receive it after Naaman's cleansing. And then Gehazi ran down there and said that he changed his mind, and he took it and hid those things. And God said Naaman's leprosy was going to attach itself to Gehazi and to his descendants forever. God used it as a judgment for sin, and it broke out in a moment's notice in that situation. It's mysterious. Mysterious in its origin. It's also in the method of its manifestation. It eats from hidden places, but it shows up in obvious places. It shows its symbolism to sin in its mystery, its method, its misery, and in its manner of cleansing. And that's what I want to deal with tonight, this manner of cleansing. This detailed ritual, unique and specific sacrifice that was offered and pronounced this man clean from the defilement of leprosy is what I wish to use in my message today. This sacrifice and this cleansing did not make them clean. Matter of fact, let's look at the scripture again and I'll show you. Look at verse number 1. And the Lord spake to Moses and said, "This should be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed." He's already healed. He's just coming to be allowed back into the congregation. He's just coming to be allowed back into the worship and into the glory of the temple and be able to involve himself in the religious as well as the society of his day. And so he's wanting this ceremony does not make him clean, but it pronounces him clean. It is that brings him into the fold of the people of God again after he's been expelled from that place. Amen. And so there's a special offering that I'd like to show, if I can, in my message today. First of all, there's 3 things I want you to notice. Number one, I want you to notice the statement about the cleansing of the offering. About the cleansing offering. Statements. See, this is, when you read the cleansing documents, the book of Leviticus is full of dealing with how to be cleansed. It's the Old Testament ritual book, if you want to say it that way. It's the rule book for cleansing of the Levites and the cleansing of the people. And it tells the priests the manners to do in which to make things go from unclean to clean. Amen. And when you read the different rituals through here, how a person can become clean, this is the most minute, the most detailed. It gives us the most reference of any that we have. You see, there's the cleansing from the dead body. In Numbers chapter 19 verses 1 through 22, they would, if they came upon a dead body, they could be cleansed. And then you have a Nazarite. If a Nazarite broke his vows and a Nazarite became unclean, there's a cleansing found in Numbers chapter 6 and verses number 1 through 27. These are extensive as well, but none of them are as extensive and show as much detail as this one does for the cleansing of leprosy. Some purifications were accomplished with ease, if I could say it that way. They were in just a very summary manner, they did just a little something and God cleansed them. For example, in Leviticus, turn back to chapter 11. I'll show you this in the scripture. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. Two verses deal with the cleansing of a person that's touched a dead beast. Verse number 39, Leviticus chapter 11. And if any beast which ye may eat die. So this is a clean beast. A beast that you may eat of, he talked about. And it dies. He that toucheth the carcass thereof shall be unclean until even. And he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. In other words, the point I'm making with that text is that when this particular cleansing was very simple. They came on a dead animal, they washed their clothes, they were considered unclean till even, then they were clean. But this leper might be unclean for days and weeks and months and even years. He'd be unclean until this extensive ritual. It took more than just washing his clothes. It took more than just waiting a day. It took this extensive sacrifice and all the things that goes and is detailed in this cleansing. You see, the more significant the defilement, the more significant the sacrifice. I believe that's right. There's some things that we can do, we'll say this. Let me back up and do it this way. We talk about there's not degrees of sin. Right is right and wrong is wrong. But there are some things that you can get forgiven for easier than others. Amen. For example, if you just have a bad thought and you think about telling somebody what you're thinking, you can get forgiveness for that quicker than if you go ahead and tell them. Then you got to go to them and ask them to forgive you. Isn't that right? I mean, there's some things that we can do, and I can name a lot of things that are it seems like simple to be forgiven of in one case. But the more significant the defilement, the more careful and the more significant must be the sacrifice for the cleansing. Leprous uncleanness excluded the leper from the camp. He was not allowed to live among his people. He was excluded from the church, if I could use it that way. He was excluded from the worship, the sacrifices, the offerings, the preaching, the reading. He was excluded from all that because of his uncleanness that was there. He was excluded from the rights of citizenship. He was excluded from the rights of church membership, if you want to say it that way. These were the rights which the family was associated, and that meant that he was excluded even from his family members, and consequently there must be a twofold form of restoration, each with its ceremonial parts, and those are found here in our text. In Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, we have the first allowing him back and being pronounced clean, and that's what I want to deal with tonight. Let me show you some things, some interesting statements down through here. From verse 1 through 4, it is found that the leprosy has been healed. Now, what healed him? It's a work of God. Leprosy does not naturally get better. Sin, if left alone, never gets better. No use trying to hide it. If you hide it, it'll just grow. It'll just fester. It'll just boil. It'll just get worse. It'll just go deeper. The thing to do is to let God help you with it. Amen. Leprosy has been found to be healed in our text. And then you see in these verses also that the priest must make a particular statement. He must make a statement of solemnity, I believe, and declare this man has been healed. What he's doing, he's declaring that a miracle has taken place among the people of God. Amen. I'll say this and allude to this. When a sinner gets saved, it is a miracle. Amen. It takes the grace of God and the work of God and a miracle for sinners to get saved by the grace of God. Amen. The leper or his friends, somebody then had to bring these sacrifices. They had to get two birds. They had to catch two birds, caught for this purpose, bought for this purpose, whatever the case. They were to get cedar wood. They were to get scarlet. They were to get a hyssop. And all these were to be used in the ceremony. And that's found there in verses 1 through 4. Verse number 5, a preparation was to be made of blood and water. Look at it. Verse 5, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now, one of the birds was to be killed in an earthen vessel, a bowl of clay, for example. And that vessel was to be over running water. Matthew Henry says it's an earthen cup of spring water. He said that it had to be pure spring water in that bowl that blood was mingled with, and it would discolor the water when the blood of the bird would get into the water. And that running water means live water, not stagnant water, not dead water, but it's from a spring. All right, was the idea that he had. Secondly, in verse number 6 and 7, the living bird with a little of the scarlet wool and a bunch of hyssop must then, this living bird must be attached to a stick. It looks like, and this cedar stick, and dipped in the blood. The living bird had to have the blood on it. The scarlet had to have the blood on it. The cedar wood had to have the blood on it. The hyssop had to have the blood on it. And all of this was to be sprinkled over the leper that was to be cleansed. Amen. At the sprinkling of the blood, listen now, at the sprinkling of the blood, the pronouncement was made that this man is now cleansed. Amen. Now, when God deals in salvation, I'm going to show you the symbolism in a moment, but I can't help but deal with it just a little bit right now. When God saves a sinner, it doesn't have to be that we finish the song and then they get up and they're saved. It doesn't have to be that they finish their prayer and then they're saved. It doesn't have to be that somebody deals with them and helps them recognize that then they're saved. I'll tell you what happens when the blood is applied. They are pronounced clean by the Holy Ghost. I believe that's right. Amen. Verses number 8 and 9 then. I'll show you this last thing in the statements that are made. Verse 8, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes. And I'm going to skip over some of this. Verse number 9, and then after 7 days he shall shave off all his hair and his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all of his hair, wash his clothes and wash his flesh, and then he'll be clean. Here's what's interesting to me. After his cleansing, after the blood's been applied, after the announcement's made, there's a period of time, 7 days, that he's remained outside the camp. He can come in, but he can't stay in. He has to abide outside of his tent for 7 more days, and then he's allowed to come in and cleanse again. Here's the point. After the leper has been pronounced clean, he must purify himself again. He must wash again. Amen. He must return. He must reshave. He must rewash. And then he is to be restored. Amen. Now, I'll get to the symbolism. That's my second point. First of all, the statements. Secondly, the symbolism of the cleansing offering. Verses 1 through 4 again, the announcement is made by the priest or the preacher. And this is a solemn announcement. Listen, I hear preaching sometimes, and I've heard it on the radio, you have too, but I've heard it in places out more than I have on the radio. Sometimes preachers, almost like they laugh at sin. They're saying, oh, we're all sinners. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, don't worry about it. Everybody sins. Ha, ha, ha. Listen, sin's not a laughing matter. The Bible said it's a fool that makes a mock at sin. Amen. Amen. It's a fool that makes a mock at sin. So this priest, when he goes to inspect this man and he sees that he's got leprosy on him, by the way, the priest has to make that proclamation. Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes people don't even know that they have wrong in them. They don't even know that what they're doing is wrong until somewhere along the line God moves the preacher and shows them and reveals to them that they are wrong. Amen. But it's not to be a laughing matter. It's a solemn matter. Amen. And that priest makes that solemn announcement. But here's something else about it. It's a public announcement. It's not just a solemn secret thing. It's a public thing. Amen. When the Holy Ghost revealed to me I was a sinner, I felt like everybody knew I was a sinner. It seemed like every preacher that came in, even if he didn't know me, he knew right where I was sitting. Amen. He knew my address. And when he pointed, his finger would gravitate right to me every time. Amen. You ever feel that way? I purposely didn't point at anybody so you wouldn't think I was talking about you. All right. But it seemed like that the Lord would bring it out public. And I'm telling you, I thank God for the fact that He did do it public so He could publicly forgive me and publicly cleanse me, amen, by His grace. And I say again, we need preachers that will preach against sin. Preachers that will pronounce a curse upon sin, amen. Preachers that are not afraid to say that sinners are wrong when they're committing sin and they are unclean and you need to stay away from some of that mess, amen. We also need preachers that will preach the cure. Amen. Preachers that will tell us about the cross, that will announce the salvation that is made available through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse number 5. Look at this real quickly. I'll show you the symbolism. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So much symbolism. Four things I want to mention in that one verse. First of all, the leper was guilty, but an innocent creature. Matter of fact, an innocent heavenly creature died in his place. That leper was guilty, but it took an innocent creature of the heavens for his cleansing. Number 2, this earthen vessel was made of clay. The vessel was earthly. Amen. Whereas the bird was heavenly. And I believe that represents the dual identity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He was the Son of Man, but He's also the Son of God. Amen. And I see that symbolism there. Number 3, there's the running water or the spring water. I believe that is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The springs, Brother Hall was telling me one day this week when I talked to him on the phone, I think maybe Friday, that he was out there, saw Old Faithful as it blew as it's supposed to, and he's out there talking about these geysers and how they were coming out, and he said anybody that didn't believe in hell, if they could see those things, the steam and the heat and the boiling water that comes out at a moment's notice from that, ought to be able to know there's something hot under the crust of this earth, amen, in the core of this earth, and God's revealing it to people every day, all the time. By the way, God is faithfully letting Old Faithful remind us that there is a hell beneath our feet. Amen. But that water, as it comes forth, it's also like spring water. Spring water comes out of hiding. I mean, who puts the water in there? God does, and it comes out. Sometimes it comes out of a rock. Amen. And that spring and the Holy Spirit comes out of hidden places. You're sitting in church and you don't know the Holy Spirit's there, but all of a sudden He makes Himself known. Amen. Somewhere out of nowhere He shows up. Amen. The wind blows, as they say, and the Spirit of God moves in power like a spring of water. Amen. He pours forth life-giving power. He pours forth His sustenance, and He pours forth His cleansing. Number 4, and this type, as many of the types, is accomplished in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see this bird that is killed, heavenly creature. Its blood is mingled with water. When our Lord, in John chapter 19, verse number 34, one of the soldiers pierced His side. You remember that? And forthwith, the Bible said, forthwith came there out blood and water. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Amen. So I see the symbolism of Christ in this offering. Number 2, or secondly, verse 6 through 7, are some more symbolism. And I've got 8 things here in verses 6 and 7. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip thee and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. 8 things that I see in symbolism, verses 6 and 7. First of all, cedar wood. Cedar wood signifies the restoring of the leper to his strength and soundness. Because cedar is a type of wood that does not putrefy, does not rot so easily. It keeps itself. It preserves itself as well as other things. Amen. Cedar wood symbolizes this leper has been has been regained his strength and has regained his soundness. It also symbolizes Christ in his eternal beauty. Amen. And his everlasting sweet savor. Amen. Cedar is an evergreen. Amen. Cedar lasts. And the color lasts, but then the beauty lasts and lasts and lasts. Amen. Reminds me of Christ. Amen. Another symbolism is the scarlet wool mentioned here. He said you take cedar wood and you take scarlet. Scarlet wool is what the commentators say that was. It signifies that this leper is going to regain his color again. Leprosy makes him white. Makes him deathly white. Amen. And what he's going to do, it's going to regain their color. You remember that when Naaman went down and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, the Bible said that his skin returned like a baby's skin. Baby's skin is not ultimately white. Baby's skin has a color to it and a beauty to it. Amen. Because the blood cells are alive and active and flowing again. And the scarlet shows us that he's recovered that. But also the scarlet, I believe, represents the blood and the royalty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Number three, there's hyssop involved. And hyssop, they tell me, and I didn't know this until studying this, that hyssop is a very aromatic herb as well. Hyssop grows by the wayside. Hyssop's like a bunch of weeds, practically. And yet hyssop is a very aromatic, has a lot of aroma. And it removes the disagreeable scent that would accompany leprosy. Leprosy as it ate at the body and caused the decay that would come. I had a stench to it. And so you've got cedar that smells good and you've got hyssop that smells good. Amen. And also cedar may be the greatest tree or plant in the spectrum and hyssop being the lowest. Matter of fact, when Solomon talked in his wisdom about trees and vines in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible said, and he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He also spake of beasts and of fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. So when Solomon made a list of trees, the greatest was the cedar and the least was the hyssop. And Christ is showing us himself from the greatest to the least. Amen. He's involved in all the work of salvation. I believe that's right. You may also recall that hyssop was the plant that was used to apply the blood on the doorposts when the Passover lamb was slain. You remember that? It's a blessing to me that hyssop grows even in the deserts of Egypt. Amen. Hyssop grows might near anywhere. Amen. Even poor slaves can get a hold of a bunch of hyssop and by the grace of God can have the blood applied. Amen. Most scholars agree that hyssop was used for its fragrant smell and especially for its abundance, even in the dry and wasted environments. You see, Christ came as a root out of dry ground. Amen. Offered himself to whosoever will. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. That's the Passover. Amen. And God gave them hyssop. We see it in this text again. Number four, there's the slain bird. The slain bird and the living bird. Two birds. The slain bird represents Christ who died for our sins. But the living bird represents Christ who rose again for our justification. Amen. Amen. Number four, there's the dipping of the living bird into the blood of the slain bird. Amen. That shows that the merits of Christ's death is what God, in other words, this shows that God was satisfied with Christ's death. That's why he allowed him to rise again on the third day. Christ lives because God's satisfied with his death. You and I can live because God's satisfied with the death of his own son. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. Amen. And so thank God that that living bird shows that Christ lives. The dead bird shows that he died. Amen. The dipping shows us that all of it takes place because of the death of Christ. This living bird then was to be released in the open field. You remember that? And it's right there in the text. And is it verse 7. The last phrase. And shall let the living bird loose into the open field. What do you think happens when that bird is turned loose from that stick? He's been tied to that stick. He's been dipped into the bowl of blood and water. That dead bird that has been slain, the dead bird is thrown to the ground. The dead bird is forgotten. The dead bird falls to the ground, as the Scripture says. But the living bird is turned loose in the open field. You don't think he falls to the ground, do you? You know what he does? He flies off with the blood on him. I'm glad Jesus didn't just go into the heart of the earth, but he rose again and he took the blood to the mercy seat. Amen. He entered in with his own blood. Amen. And offered his own blood for sacrifice for our sins. Amen. And amen. So much symbolism in this text. It's a blessing to me. Amen. Then we see, let me see where I'm at. Number six, you've got the cedar, the scarlet wool, the hyssop. All those must be dipped in the blood. Amen. Because everything that is of value in the house of God, the Word of God, the singing, the preaching, all of it is only of value because it has the blood saturating all of it. Amen. Amen. When they start taking the blood out of the songbooks, they got a powerless songbook. When they start taking the blood out of the sermons, they've got powerless sermons. Amen. When they start taking the blood out of the Bibles, they've got powerless Bibles, powerless books. Amen. Amen. It takes the blood to cleanse and wash our sins away. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Amen. Then I notice this, the leper must be sprinkled seven times. That's what he said. Look at verse number 7. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is cleansed with the leprosy seven times. Seven represents completeness, isn't that right? Seven shows that he has been cleansed thoroughly or throughly. Here's what the psalmist David said, Psalm 51 verse 2. Wash me throughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. He wanted to be completely clean. Amen. The sinner needs to be made completely clean. Amen. Completely clean. What good is it to have this ear healed if this ear is still rotten off? Amen. He needs to be completely cleansed. So he's sprinkled seven times, showing the completeness of it. Also, Naaman was told by the prophet Elisha to go and dip seven times in the Jordan River, right? Seven times. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Why is it seven? Seven's completeness, and seven shows the work of God. Amen. Then number eight, my last thing on these verses, verse 6 and 7. The last point of symbolism, the living bird is then let loose in the open field to signify this leper now has been cleansed and is no longer restricted and confined away from the camp. Amen. He's no longer under the restraint and confinement of the law. He now has liberty to go where he pleases. He now has his life restored again. Amen. He now has communion with the saints and communion at the house of God because he's been made alive through the sprinkling of the blood. Amen. He has that liberty. Amen. This typifies the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. By the grace of God, we've been sprinkled by the blood of Christ, and it has washed us and cleansed us from an evil conscience. That's what the Bible talks about. Amen. Now, our souls who once were bowed down in the dust, that's the way the Bible talks about it. We had grief and fear on our shoulders. We had the burden pressed down upon us, but now we're set free to fly. We can mount up with wings as eagles. Why? Because we waited on the Lord. He inclined His ear unto us and heard our cry. Amen. And brought us up out of that horrible pit. Now we can mount up with wings as eagles and we can soar for the glory of God. Amen. I believe that's right. Verse number 8 and 9, I see some more symbolism. Not so much. I won't tarry it. But I love it. I'll be honest with you. I love looking at this and seeing Christ on the pages of the Old Testament. Verses 8 and 9. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day, you see the seven just keeps bringing up, that he shall shave off all of his hair, all the hair of his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Now here's the symbolism of the actions of the cleansed leper. Everything before this was done for Him. Amen. He's outside the camp. He's been afflicted. He's been accursed with the sin, but something has happened and he's been cleansed. And so he calls for the preacher. He calls for the preacher. By the way, James said this way, is any afflicted? Let him call for the elders of the church. Amen. And he goes out to him. The priest goes to him. The priest then offers these offerings for him. The priest then sprinkles this blood on him. All this is done for him. But he says, now it's up to you to do some things. Now it's up to you to wash. Now it's up to you to prove yourself. Now it's up to you to come back 7 days later and remove any doubt that you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. The priest has now pronounced him clean, but he must clean himself as much as is possible from any of the remains and the attachment of the death that had been upon him before. Amen. I believe when people get saved, a good sign of their salvation is that they'll be back 7 days later. Amen. This crowd that said they get saved on one day and you can't find them again. The next time you have church, you can't find them for days and days and days and weeks and months and years. I don't think they got what I got. Amen. Amen. But they must cleanse themselves. It is our responsibility once we got saved to clean up our lives so that others will actually believe we got saved. Amen. I was sharing with Brother Shelby, and I think Brother Ricky, and maybe Brother Bell might have been there when we were at the funeral home the other night, and I was talking with them about a situation in Kansas, actually in Nebraska. When my dad started, the first church he started in Washington, Kansas, is right at the Nebraska line. There was a preacher over in Beatrice, Nebraska, I believe is the town he's in, Brother Howard. Do you remember what he's like? Jordan, Howard Jordan. Never could remember that night. Brother Howard Jordan, he's an older man of God. Brother Jordan led this cowboy to the Lord. Now, he is a real cowboy. I mean, he literally rode a horse and brought in the cows, all right, the cattle. And this boy got saved, and Dad said he went to church after Brother Howard had led him to the Lord, and the next Sunday that boy showed up and sat on the front row right where Brother Jesse's sitting. And the boy had a ponytail down about here. It wasn't hardly as long as Brother Shelby's. I think his was dragging the ground from what I've been told. He had a long ponytail, had on leather chaps, and he had a whip rolled up on his side. And cowboy boots, I mean, that was how he lived. He wasn't trying to look like a cowboy. He was a cowboy. But he showed up in church that Sunday morning and said when Brother Howard got to preaching, he said that boy's just eating it up and said come back Sunday night, same thing. And he said it got on a little bit and that boy jumped up and jerked out that whip and hollered, yippee! And snapped his whip when he done it. Well, he didn't know no better. That's all he knew. That's all he knew. Anyway, Brother Howard got to talking to him and Brother Howard said, he said, son, if you really got saved, he said, you need to do something about your hair. That boy said, well, I can't. He said, my girlfriend that I'm living with likes it. Brother Howard said, wait a minute. Now you got to do something more than the hair. And he talked with him. Anyway, long story short, I don't remember if it was on Wednesday, but sometime down in the week, sometime not long. Anyway, a little boy came into church one morning. He had his hair cut real nice and neat. And he told the preacher, he said, I told her that I was going to get my hair cut. She said, I don't want you. If you're going to do that, you're going a different way than I'm going. He said, I went to the barber shop, got my hair cut, had them put it in a sack. He said, I took the sack and left it with her, told her, you can have the hair. I'm going with God. Amen. Amen. I'm saying that is our responsibility once we got saved by the grace of God is show others, tell others by the way we live, by the way we dress, by the way we speak, by the things we do, by where we go, everything ought to show them we've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We ought to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. That's what the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians. Amen. Purge ourselves from our old sins and show that we have a hope in Him. Amen. The Bible says that they that have this hope in themselves purify themselves even as He is pure. Amen. And we ought to have a pure life and we ought to clean ourselves up. Now the reason they shave even their eyebrows, they shave their head, their eyebrows, their beard, everything is because they wanted to prove there wasn't one spot, not one spot of that leprosy left on them. Amen. I don't want to do one thing that makes somebody think I am a sinner. Do you? Amen. I've said this before. I know these guys, some guys, they say you wear an earring in one ear, it means you're a sodomite. Wear an earring in the other, it means you're not. They both look like it to me. Amen. I can't help it. They do. And if this one means you are and this one means you ain't, then you got it in here, it means you're about that close to being one. Amen. But I don't want to look like one.
Amen.
I don't want to act like one. I don't want anybody to mistake me for one. Amen. And I can name a lot of things, and you could as well, that I want to prove to the world that I have been made a new creature in Christ. I want to prove to the world that I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, my last point. I talked about the statements. I talked about the symbolism. Let me show you the sparrows in this cleansing. The word birds. Two birds in our text. It's Strong's number 6833. It is found 40 times in the New Testament. I mean, in the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word. 40 times. Two of those times it is translated in your King James Bible as sparrow. If you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 84, I'll show you both of these places. They're both in the Psalms. Psalms 84 and verse number 3. When I looked it up in Matthew Henry's commentary about these scriptures, I read what he had to say about verses 1 through 9 of Leviticus 14. He said those birds could be any bird that was easily found. Well, sparrows fit that category, don't they? But since the Bible translates it as sparrow a few times, I don't think I'd be wrong in assuming that this may very well have been a sparrow. Psalm 84, verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So the psalmist has been talking about here how beautiful is the house of God, how amiable are thy tabernacles, how much he loves going to the house of God. He said, even the sparrow, even the little bird can be found at the altar. Amen. And he mentioned sparrow specifically. Psalm 102 and verse number 7, he's talking about his affliction. He's overwhelmed and he pours out his complaint before the Lord, the Bible says here in this phrase. Psalm 102, verse number 7. He said, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon a housetop. You know what he's saying there? I believe the psalmist is saying, I'm like the little bird that is pretty defenseless. I'm like the little bird that's pretty common and pretty easily caught, pretty easily ensnared. Now, when he's dealing with this sparrow, the idea that I get from here, they got to have an offering. But here's a man that has not been allowed to work. He's been cast out of society for some time. Here's a man that's not been allowed to fellowship with his family. He's been cast out of society for some time. I don't know what he can afford. But God puts the sacrifice so low and so easy that all he's got to do is either find it himself or have somebody supply a little cedar wood, a little hyssop that grows everywhere, a little scarlet wool, and two small birds, I believe probably sparrows at that time. That offering was going to be so small. I'll show you how small. Look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. Our Lord makes reference to this. This is what blessed me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Let me go back to verse 28 so you can see the context. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, here's the statement. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One little coin could buy two of these birds. And then he goes on to say, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. Amen. Amen. Christ referred to the sparrow and how cheap it was. But here's what I noticed, Brother Steve. I noticed that he mentioned two of them. He mentioned two of them. The book of Matthew is written to the Jews to show them their king. These men, Matthew, matter of fact, you remember what Matthew's name was before he was called Matthew in the gospel? He was called Levi. The book of Leviticus was written to the Levites. Matthew would have known about that Levitical cleansing of the leper. He would have known that it didn't just take one little bird, it took two. You had to have one to die and one to live. Amen. And I believe our Lord, in writing this, was referring to these Jews, that these Jews would know that God is conscious of the offering of one of those little birds. Look at it. He said, you got two of them, but one of them's going to fall to the ground. Two birds, but one of them's going to fall to the ground. Which one? The one that dies that the sinner might be cleansed. The one that dies so that the guilty might be pronounced clean, might be allowed into the family, might be brought in to the fold. Amen. Jesus is trying to show them there is one right here available. There is one very easy for you to apprehend. There's one very simple for you to comprehend. All you got to do is recognize that there's one that is dying for you so you can be cleansed. And so you can live. Amen. The symbolism, I believe Christ is in both of these sparrows, but in particular in the fact that one of them is dying for their sins. Amen. Amen. I believe I'll stop right there. I've got some symbolism. That sprinkling seven times, there's seven things in the Bible that tells us we get from the blood of Jesus. Amen. But here's the point I want to make, and I'll close with this thought. Jesus Christ said, God notices when one sparrow falls to the ground. It's not worth much to you. Listen, Christ wasn't worth much to the Jews. 30 pieces of silver? That wasn't much. Amen. That was just what it took to get Judas to sell him out. They reject him. They saw him of no value. They saw nothing in him that they would want, just like Isaiah said it was. They'd see nothing in him that they desired. Amen. And they didn't want him. They count him of a worthless thing. But Jesus said, but there's a God in heaven that knows every sparrow, and he especially notices that one that falls to the ground. He especially notices that one whose blood is shed. He especially notices that one whose blood is offered so that others can be sprinkled with the blood of the sparrow. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, while we get a song together. Let me ask you the question, have you ever been washed? Have you ever been cleansed? Have you ever been made a new creature in Christ? If you have, are you living like it? Are you doing your best to cleanse yourself? Show others that cleansing? Are you thanking God for offering Himself, Christ forgiving Himself, that you might be saved and be made clean? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the time of the preaching of the Word of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for the symbolism that we saw there in the book of Leviticus. The wondrous story. Wondrous story. How Christ tied it all together in the New Testament. And I believe showed us that Leviticus was talking about Him. In the volume of the book, Jesus said, it is written of me. And He expounded to us again from the book of Moses how that He is represented. Lord, there may be some lepers here tonight. It may be very small. It may not be obvious yet, but it will be. There may be some that sin has already devastated them. There may be some that seem as if there's no hope. They feel as if they've been cast aside, rejected, never to be restored. Lord, I pray you'll show them there's healing and there's cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray you'll draw them and meet their need. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. While we sing, if you need to come, would you just do business with the Lord?